Derek Overstreet from the New Millennium Group. Hey, if you'd like to get a copy of a written income plan that provides income that you cannot outlive as long as you're alive, give us a call at 888-999-6370. That's 888-999-6370.
Haven't seen the sky so blue. The birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It is a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care.
Hey, hey, hey,
hey,
hey.
It's just a sunny
day. Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
It's the KSL Greenhouse. Expert tips for flowers, trees, gardens, and soil. Our hosts are Maria Chaleos and Ton Bettis on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You do want to get your calls in early. A short show today. KSL Greenhouse will be ending at 10 o'clock this morning. So if you have pressing questions, it won't wait till next week. You need to get them in. You need to call right away. And you can also text us your questions at 57500. Our top of the hour feature, Ton wanted to talk about our Thanksgiving foods that we eat and kind of the history behind them.
Yes. We go into Thanksgiving and we, have our family and friends over and, have hopefully a good time with Thanksgiving, but a big part of it is sharing in the food. And we view food as something that can bring people together. And there's a lot of historical significance to especially this holiday. And so we sometimes don't consider it, but it's sometimes amazing where the food you eat on a daily basis actually originated and a little bit about the history.
Okay. So did you want to start? Well, let's start with the vegetables.
Yes.
Start with the squash.
So squash and pumpkins, there are a few different species that most of our squash and pumpkins originated from. One is a really forlorn little species from the Ozarks and Appalachia that a lot of our summer squash was developed from. And then there's species also native into Mexico and different parts of North America that pumpkins and winter squash were developed from. And so the squash, a lot of times what would happen or that the Native Americans would develop their own varieties and do their own breeding, the bigger fruit, better fruit, longer storing, things like that. And then Europeans would come in, the explorers, and they would get a hold of the seeds and take them back to Europe, and they would further develop them. And then European settlers brought them back to North America. So they travel over to Europe and Asia and then travel back to where they were originally native.
We just take them for granted, don't we?
We do.
They've always been here.
They've always been here. And there are other members of that family, like cucumbers and melons, that are not native to North America, but the squash originated here and they were originally developed by Native Americans.
Hmm. How about the potatoes? They didn't start as mashed potatoes, did they?
No, they didn't. So mashed potatoes are native to the Andes. And there's actually dozens of species of potato. We actually have a few native into Utah that were utilized by Native Americans, but they don't get the great big tubers on them. And so I believe that the Navajo or the Diné tribe used a lot of them, and there's been some resurgence in popularity of some of our native potatoes. But the potato we use, it was native to the Andes, and it's native to areas that it never really gets over about 70 or 75 degrees, and it never gets colder than about 60. It's just a perfect elevation. And so they have been bred to tolerate more heat and our growing seasons up here, but they were grown by a lot of different tribes throughout North America, but they did originate in South America.
How about the cranberries?
Cranberries are native.
We know you can't grow those here in Utah.
No, we can't grow them in Utah, but they are native mainly to the Northeast, but there are species of cranberry native all through the northern, through Canada into Alaska, that are all in the same genus and fairly closely related. And so cranberries are native to the Northeast, and they were used by Native Americans and then adopted by European settlers.
Okay, the big feature, the turkey.
So turkey, I think, has one of the most interesting stories. And so turkeys were independently domesticated a couple of times by Native Americans thousands of years ago. And some of those breeds died out as the empires and the cultures would ebb and flow. But the turkeys that we use originated in Mexico. And even though we have native turkeys all over North America, they were taken from Mexico to Europe and Asia, and they were bred for a number of years, 50 or 100 years, and they started to develop their own varieties or breeds of turkey.
Wow.
And the reason turkey has its name is that when it was taken to England from Turkey, the English assumed that it was native there, and it was called the bird from Turkey, and it was just shortened to turkey.
And then made its way back.
And then
here.
European settlers brought it back.
Okay, you're right. That's an interesting tale.
So there are
a lot
of things out there. A lot of the food we eat at Thanksgiving are foods that are native to the Americas. Corn is another one mm-hmm. that originated in South America and Mexico. And over hundreds of years, it was bred to have bigger ears and be more productive. But the corn that we're eating is another Mexico, South American native that was bred into what we have today. Other foods that we eat at Thanksgiving are not native to the Americas, sweet potatoes being one of the main ones. But, that one has origins in South America, and it's grown all over Asia, and it's spread throughout. But many of the foods we eat at Thanksgiving are actually native to North and South America.
Diversity.
Yes.
That's all I can say. Well, okay. Love all the Thanksgiving foods. And I especially appreciate giving thanks, but then it's all about the food.
It is.
Okay. There is a great article that we put up on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. This is from the Smithsonian. If you would like to learn more about the history of the foods that we eat at Thanksgiving, coming back with your calls and questions, Matt is up next when we come back. Number to call 801-575-8255. You can text us 57500.
At Galen College of Nursing, our NOW approach to nursing education means treating students as humans. We give you the care you're taught to give your patients to help you fulfill the potential you always had. Learn more about Galen's nursing programs at galencollege.edu.
At Smith's Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Smith's Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Smith's, a world of care is in store. Visit smithsfoodanddrug.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
If you want to see more companies make things in America, consider buying more things from companies who are already doing that very thing. Companies like American Giant. These guys have been making t-shirts, sweatshirts, flannels, and blue jeans in America for the last 14 years, with cotton grown right here in the USA. That means good jobs for lots of hardworking Americans in factory towns all over the country. Check out their stuff in stores everywhere, or pick up something awesome at American-Giant.com.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.
When I say Closet Factory, what comes to mind? If you've never worked with us, probably closet. But customers whose habits and preferences we've studied, then organized into the very walls of their new rooms, say time saved. Others mention the extra space we've built into their homes. When Closet Factory builds you a custom storage solution, it means happiness with extra joy sprinkled in. Everyday prices you can trust. No gimmicks, just great value. Closet Factory. This is what organized feels like.
Good morning. Thanks for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse. Maria and Ton taking your calls and questions, 801-575-8255 or text at 57500. Right before we broke for the top of the hour news, we did have this text come in, Ton. This person says they have a patch of ground behind their house that's mostly rock and gravel. A lot of weeds do grow there, and they're wondering if there are any bushes that would do well in that area.
It's all going to hinge on irrigation. There are a lot of bushes that would likely do fine. If they're looking for something more drought tolerant, maybe something along the lines of juniper bushes would be something they could look at. Something a little more traditional, the cotoneasters we discussed earlier, the Peking cotoneaster, privet might be another one they could look at. There are plenty of things that would likely do well. It's just digging the holes and making sure that things get irrigated.
Our next listener says, is it a good time to collect marigold seeds? Do they require hours of freezing temperatures?
No, it's a fine time to collect marigold seeds. I have some marigolds. I believe they're Tangerine Gem that I really like. That variety, it's an old one. I just took my mower over the top of mine and let the seeds disperse all over in the garden bed, and I'll just let them germinate in the spring. And
they will? They won't, like, rot over the winter?
No, they're just fine.
You don't put soil over them? You just let them go?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let rain and snow do their thing. And I usually get 6 or 8 of them that come up, and I'll move them around a little bit. But this is their 3rd or 4th year that they've come back on their own.
Will zinnias do that?
Zinnias I've never tried that with. And it would depend, I guess, on if it's a hybrid or a species zinnia, but I suspect they would if it was a pure species.
Interesting. Okay, Matt is on the line in Kaysville. Good morning, Matt. What was your question this morning?
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a fairly young Norwegian sunset maple tree that we planted just maybe about a year ago. It's maybe only about 2-3 years old. And at the very base, we're noticing that the bark on the outside is starting to crack and kind of swell. And it looks like there's a layer of, I guess, the wood underneath. It looks like it's kind of spongy and starting to kind of, I don't know if you'd call it rotting, but it's kind of coming away and the bark is kind of separating a little
bit. Is it on the south or west side of the tree?
Yeah, it's on the west side.
Okay. It's likely sun damage from the winter. One of the downfalls of Norwegian and Pacific sunset maples or very similar trees is that they are very thin barked and they have to be wrapped in the winter with the white tree tape. Or you can paint them with water-based latex paint, but a lot of people don't like to do that. And so most of our garden centers and farm stores will have fabric tree tape. And you tie it off at the base of the tree and wrap it into the lower branches and leave it all winter and then take it off in the spring.
Okay.
And that will help.
Great.
But if it's on the west side of the tree, I mean, there are some other possibilities from mechanical damage, from mowers or string trimmers, even from the garden center. You know, if that tree was somehow, when it was coming out of a semi and banged on, like the trunk landed on a hard surface, like a truck bed or, you know, a pallet or something. Sometimes that doesn't show up for a while and then the bark dies. And so there are those possibilities. But because it is the Norwegian sunset maple, I would wrap that trunk every year until you start getting that fissured corky bark on it.
How many years would you say?
It's probably going to be 5 or 6 years at least.
Okay. All right. Thank you for answering my question. I appreciate it.
All right, Matt, thanks for your call. And for those people who have never wrapped a tree and they want to learn how, we did a recent video that you can find on our YouTube channel, the KSL Greenhouse YouTube channel, or you can find it on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page as well. Just go to the video section. I think it's still pinned to the top.
Yeah, it's pinned to the top. Yeah, they're short, but it kind of gets the point across and just shows you how to do it.
Shows you how to do it. Makes it a little less complicated.
Yes.
Next listener would like to get rid of some Russian sage that they have planted, they've had along a long strip, along a rock wall. They're wondering if they can put Roundup or something else on it right now, or if they should wait till spring.
A week ago, I would have said yes, because we're still in the 60s, but with us getting down into the 40s, is a little bit cold. And so what they may be able to try doing, if they can, and they have a pickup truck or something and they have access, they might be able to yank it out of the ground with a chain or a rope, probably a chain. Otherwise, they could try digging it and then going after the seedlings and the root sprouts in the spring. But the other thing they could try is cutting it back to a foot off the ground or 6 inches off the ground. And every stem, as soon as it's cut, they have someone going behind them with a concentrate bottle of glyphosate or lawn weed killer. And every stem gets dabbed with lawn weed killer, the concentrate, and to see if that will knock them out.
All right. Next listener would like to know, can they put mulberry leaves over their garden? They've heard that they're toxic.
They're not toxic. Actually, even the walnut leaves are not toxic. That's research has been debunked, even though it's still out there. You are fine. Yeah, mulberry leaves are great.
There used to be research that said that they were toxic, but now you've learned that it's not.
It's on the walnuts. Back in the 30s, I think, there was a research report saying that walnuts were, the term is called allelopathic, which means they can prevent roots and seeds from growing when you're in the presence of these chemicals. And it may impact a few species, but modern botanists that have studied this can't find any evidence to support it. The original study didn't give any references, and it's kind of questionable. I've put walnut leaves in gardens and tilled them in, and the gardens have done just fine.
Okay.
And so there may be stuff there, but as those leaves break down, so do the allelopathic properties of them. And so if you're worried about it, just compost them. And when they turn into good compost, nothing is in there that's going to harm anything. But mulberry leaves in and of themselves, there's no problems.
Next listener says that we've been hearing a lot about E. coli outbreaks from vegetables served at big restaurant chains. They want to know, can we get E. coli from our homegrown gardens? And if so, how do we prevent that?
So the first thing I will say, and as far as our home gardens, don't get awfully concerned, because we've been growing home gardens for thousands of years and they're almost always safe. And with that statement, on occasion, we will get releases from our irrigation companies, because they actually regularly test your irrigation water if it's secondary for such things. And Lehigh had an E. coli outbreak a couple of years ago, and people were advised to not eat their vegetables. Sometimes coming out of the Jordan River, you can get things going on. But every couple of years, it seems like a certain area gets elevated levels of E. coli or other such bacteria, and people can get sick from it. Every once in a while, it can get worse, but wash your produce. You know, if it's tomatoes or peppers, if you're using drip irrigation, the danger is greatly diminished, except for if you're doing root crops. But wash your vegetables thoroughly, and you're generally fine, unless whoever handles your irrigation water, especially if you're on secondary, puts out a statement saying don't eat anything from this because we're testing high for E. coli or whatever else might be in there. But yes, you're safe.
Okay. Next listener says that they have a prairie fire crabapple tree that grows like crazy. 5 feet away, or about 8 feet away, is another prairie fire crabapple, which is hardly growing. And they're wondering if there's anything that they can do for the small one.
Try fertilizing it.
And what would they fertilize it with?
Just triple 16 or 20-00, and I would do it in the spring. But they need to check a lot of things. One of the biggest reasons trees don't thrive is they're very commonly planted too deeply, to where they're sometimes 6 inches to a foot below where they should be. And so they need to look for the root flare at the base of the tree. And so if you download a tree planting fact sheet, you can see pictures of that. There are many of them free online. So that would be the first thing I would check. And if it's only been in the ground a little while, they could actually dig it and raise it up a little bit. There could be a girdling root that is restricting the trunk that they would need to investigate. And then sometimes trees get fungal diseases in the root systems that doesn't outright kill the tree, but the tree never thrives. Hmm. And if it's not planted too deeply, there's not a girdling root, that's probably the situation.
All right. We're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. Come back with your calls and questions. Number to call, 801-575-8255. Phone lines are open. You can also text us at 57500.
At Smith's Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Smith's Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Smith's, a world of care is in store. Visit smithsfoodanddrug.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Guys, did you know your testosterone level impacts your energy, libido, sleep, weight, hair loss, mood, and even ED? And right now, Revive Men's Health Salt Lake City will check your testosterone for free. They've helped thousands of men since 2011 feel and perform better. They're so confident they can help you, they even guarantee it. Schedule your free testosterone test, exam, and consultation today. Call 801-263-7777. That's 801-263-7777. Or visit RevivemensHealth.com.
I'm Jeff Kaplan from KSL News Radio. You want to receive the latest news, traffic, and weather all in one place? All you have to do is subscribe to the KSL text line. Text the word NEWS to 57500 and you'll get the latest news, traffic, and weather updates. Sometimes before we get them on the air. I'll catch you on the radio weekday afternoons on KSL News Radio.
Tim and Amanda here. Did you know you can get the three things you need to know delivered right to your inbox? Put the news back in newsletter and sign up today.
Every weekday, we'll send you an email with the news that's most important to you, including the three things you need to know that day.
Subscribe now. Text the word inbox to 57500 and we'll see you on the radio. Weekday mornings on KSL News Radio.
The Greenhouse Show on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Phone lines are open at 801-575-8255. You can text your questions at 57500. Maria Chaleos, Tom Bettis with you for the next half hour, and then we make way for the Real Estate Show because then we have complete coverage of today's BYU football game, you know, including the pregame coverage. And then we'll be back hopefully next week if, I don't know exactly when they win games, if there's when the championship game is, so hopefully, we'll have a full show next week. Next listener would like to know, Ton, how do you start nasturtium seeds? They have saved their plants. Do they need to be culled? Have you ever done nasturtium seeds?
I haven't. And that would be something I need to look up. That's obscure enough that I've never played with it.
Okay.
If they do come back, I'm just unsure if they require a stratification or not. One thing I would do is just look up online germination protocol for nasturtium, and it'll bring up what you need to do. I would suspect that they don't, because you can get the seeds from the grocery store or from a garden center and just plant them. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think those seeds have been pre-treated with anything. So I think that you can just collect them and replant them. But it's something, this is the first time anybody's ever asked me that in my
an unusual one
30 years in horticulture.
That's funny. Next person says that they have an above ground pool. They want to drain the water. They're wondering if it'll kill the grass if they do it on the grass.
I would not do that, just because you've either got chlorine or bromine in there, or even if it's just, you know, like a sea like a seawater type situation, but those bromine, chlorine, whatever it is, will collect in the soil. And even if it didn't hurt once, it's really hard to get those to leach through. And so I would just get a sump pump with a long hose on it and drain it into the gutter.
Okay. Next listener has chard growing in a cold frame, and it has a lot of leaf miner damage. They're wondering, first of all, how do they prevent that? And then how do they treat that?
Well, the leaf miner are trapped in there. And so there's no predators anymore to get to them. And so they're most likely going to have to spray with a permethrin or bifenthrin or a pyrethroid registered for not only vegetables, but greenhouse use. And those sometimes can be a little difficult to find, but I think even a ready-to-use spray, another thing they could try is cutting it all down. And just, if they don't mind eating it, they can, but let it regrow. And as it's regrowing, start to spray to see if that will reduce the population a bit.
Next listener would like to know, what's the best way to get rid of mint without using Roundup? It's pretty easy to dig up, though.
Well, but if it's mint, it's the roots spread and it'll just come right back. And so you could try solarizing the ground to where if you have a patch of mint, cut it to the ground, cover it with clear plastic in the spring, leave it all summer so that you want the edges of that plastic secured so it doesn't blow away. And that would likely do it.
Okay. Next listener wants to know, we were talking about leaves and walnut tree leaves, but they're wondering, if would it be okay to put walnut leaves in with their chickens run to dig in, like the English walnut?
I am not an agronomist or
not going to go there.
I can't.
You're afraid
it's just
to go there?
Out of my lane, too far out of my lane,
okay,
out of my wheelhouse. So I just cannot comment on that.
Not sure how that would impact
the
chickens.
They would need to talk to... I don't know if there would be problems, but that is something I have no training in.
Okay. Next person says they planted a flowering pear, a Bartlett pear, and an apple tree last spring. Nursery sold them a loose plastic cover to put around the bases. Should they take those off now and put a fabric cover on for the winter?
Well, if they're white, they can leave them, but they should not be covered up like that in the summer. And every once in a while, people will put those on if they have problems with deer rubbing on the trunks to get the velvet off their antlers or something. But those should not be on in the summer. And so what I would do is, if they're white, leave them on. If they're a darker color, get them off and put the white fabric tape on.
Okay. Chris would like to know. She needs to put They would like to put compost on top of their raised vegetable garden beds, 2 to 3 inches. Can you tell them where to get some compost that's not full of sticks and uncomposted bark?
That's hard to do. To find it something completely composted, most of the stuff bagged and sold has some sticks and bark and everything in there like that. The Oakdale compost is probably one of the better ones. They could check out NutriMulch and see what it's like.
Or the Replenish.
Or Replenish, any of those. But Oakdale, from what I've seen, seems to be fairly completely composted the last time I checked it out.
So what is the benefit of that over the other?
Well, it's just that you're putting partially decomposed things into your soil. And if you use it excessively, you can bind nitrogen up in the soil and it'll stunt your plants because soil microorganisms are more efficient at getting soil nitrogen and then stealing it all from the plants. And then the soil microorganisms use it to break down the undecomposed, the plant material that's not decomposed yet. And so you really can mess things up. In the spring, if you put down a lot, like 3 inches of what's called compost, but it's full of bark and things that aren't broken down, you can really stunt your plants.
So that'd be especially for like a vegetable garden.
Yes, it would. But this time of year, I'm not as concerned. And if that's all they can find, I would just get it down quickly, get it worked into the soil, and then just put down an application of fertilizer like you would on your lawn over where you've put that so that the extra nitrogen will help it break down.
Yeah, extra decomposition over the winter.
Yes.
All right. We're going to take a break. Coming back with more of your calls and questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
At Galen College of Nursing, our NOW approach to nursing education means treating students as humans. We give you the care you're taught to give your patients, and we prepare you to practice with immersive experiences and on-demand resources to help you fulfill the potential you always had. Regardless of who you are, if you pursue nursing education at Galen, we'll do everything we can to support you right now. Learn more at galencollege.edu.
At Smith's Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Smith's Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Smith's, a world of care is in store. Visit smithsfoodanddrug.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Guys, did you know your testosterone level impacts your energy, libido, sleep, weight, hair loss, mood, and even ED? And right now, Revive Men's Health Salt Lake City will check your testosterone for free. They've helped thousands of men since 2011 feel and perform better. They're so confident they can help you, they even guarantee it. Schedule your free testosterone test, exam, and consultation today. Call 801-263-7777. That's 801-263-7777. Or visit RevivemensHealth.com.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
Good morning. Thanks for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse. Maria and Ton with you this morning, taking your calls and questions. This segment, we wanted to talk about the Festival of Trees, which is coming up December 4th through the 7th. And this is just such a treasured Utah holiday tradition. And joining us right now is Jennifer Ward, who is co-chair of the Festival of Trees Volunteer Board. Thanks so much for being with us, Jennifer.
Thank you.
So, Jennifer, first of all,
to be here.
Oh, I'm so glad to have you. First of all, describe what it's like putting this all together. I mean, it's coming up just in a week now.
It is. It is a huge process. We start in January again for the next year, and it is a big event, but it is an important event as we raise money for Primary Children's Hospital.
Right. Describe who is benefited by this event.
So the children at Primary Children's Hospital benefit from everything that is raised at Festival of Trees, in charity care and music therapy and many other things that are top priority at the hospital for the kids.
Describe how you decide who's going to be creating these beautiful trees, or describe how that process works.
So it is open to the public, and anybody can sign up to donate an item. Our registration opens usually the first Monday in July, and anybody who wants to donate can sign on and register to donate. They can register a large tree, a small tree. We have gingerbread houses. We have quilts. Nativities, gingerbread houses. Did I already say that?
I'm not sure.
Playhouses and so many other things that they can donate.
Is that registration still open?
It is not open because we are full, meaning we have all the registration items that we can take for this year.
So describe
but
for
you
us.
You can still come
and
still participate in a festival by coming and buying a ticket to come in. And then there's so many things that you can buy at festival that allows the community to still participate, just not by donating items.
Describe for us what some of those things are. Describe for us what people will find when they come to this year's event.
All right. So we have Gift Boutique that has gifts for your neighbors. It has gifts of home decor. It has Christmas gifts. Anything you can think of that would be at a regular boutique is there at our Gift Boutique. We also have Elf Emporium, which is a place that's kind of geared towards children and things that children could buy for one another or children could buy for their parents or their teachers. We also have a sweet shop where you can buy fudge, the famous festival fudge. We have 51 flavors. I think we made 5,000 pounds of fudge this year. We also have the scones and sweet rolls that you can purchase while you're at festival. And we have Kids Corner where kids can go and create crafts and do fun little activities.
A lot of times your trees have special stories. Is there a special story that you'd like to share with us from one of the community members that is volunteering?
Well, we as leadership are doing a Trim the Home donation, which is a donation that has quite a few different auction items in it. And we are doing it in honor of our patient champion for this year. Her name is Ruby. And Ruby has gone through many, many procedures at Primary Children's Hospital. She's had cancer. And so we are doing that tree in honor of her, and she's doing very well. She is currently cancer-free and just being a healthy 11-year-old.
Right. How much money did the event raise last year for the children?
We raised $3.4 million last year.
Anything else?
We are planning on beating that.
Yeah. Anything else you'd like to share with us?
Just come support us. We're at the Mountain America Expo Center, December 4th through the 7th. And we would love to have everybody come and support the children.
Jennifer, appreciate you being with us. Thanks so much for being with us today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Just such a wonderful event, hon. And I do love the scones. I love getting ideas, seeing the gingerbread houses and the trees and just getting all sorts of fun ideas. And
yeah, I've been several times, and it's a fun time, but also a poignant time to see all the trees and just what they represent.
So true. Sherry is on the line in Pleasant View. Good morning, Sherry. What was your question this morning?
Wondering, since life got in the way, if it is too late to trim a rose bush and an apple tree.
It is too late to do that because you're not supposed to be doing that in the fall. Apple tree should be trimmed in mid-February, and the rose, if it's just like a rose you'd use for floral displays, sometime in mid-March. So you're fine. You know, if that apple tree has disease in it, like fire blight or something, you would cut that out. But otherwise, leave it alone until February.
Okay, great. Appreciate the help.
All right. Thanks for your call this
morning.
Next listener did want to chime in. We were talking about compost without sticks and bark, and they just wanted to let us know that they did find some of that at IFA for those people who are still looking for that. Next person would like to know, how do they get rid of chives? Do they dig them up or wait until spring or do Roundup? What would be your suggestions?
I would try digging them and see if that helps. They may come back from seed for a year or two, but if you dig them out now, if they try to come back in the spring, just use a gardening hoe and cultivate them out that way would be the easiest. Roundup may or may not, because they have such a waxy leaf, the little blade looking things are the leaves, that it may be hard to get it to penetrate in. And so I would start by yanking them out and then just using cultivation to get the seedlings that come up.
Can chives be aggressive and be a problem? Like I've had chives, but I've never found them to be that aggressive.
If you have the right conditions, they can be very persistent, but I've never seen them take over a lawn or something. There are some native wild onions and wild garlics that if your lawn is continuously wet, they will take over.
Mm-hmm.
But the chives are a little permanent, but I've never seen them be super aggressive.
Mm-hmm. Any questions you guys are getting this time of year that people are concerned about?
can we still mow our lawns? You know, absolutely. Can we put that fertilization down? It's been warm enough. Yes, you can, for your winterizer to get that done. Those have been some of the main ones, but I've been seeing people all over Facebook putting pictures of their gardening catalogs already arriving.
Oh, it's been getting excited to do some planning.
Earlier. Mm-hmm. It used to be January. And now I've got Johnny's and Totally Tomatoes and Burpees and Gurney's have all shown up.
Already planning for the next year.
Yes.
We just want to be out there and getting our hands dirty and enjoying some great homegrown produce, don't we?
We do. And it's never too early to dream about what you're going to plant. And, you know, I honestly, if you are into things that are less common, order them now. Because
oh, really?
They may not be available in February when you start thinking about it. And so if you have that favorite tomato, like BHN 1021, Johnny's discontinued it, but I found it. I think Burpees or Gurney's are carrying it this year. And that's been, it's been as good or better than Celebrity to me. And I was happy to see it because I couldn't get it last year.
All right.
So get those seeds now.
All right. We'll be back next week from 8 to 11. Thank you for joining us. You can find all of our features on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. You can also find us in podcast form.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.